It is your man, Whitey Spooch, in a place to be chilling. Now, that's some 90s shit there, is it not? It's about 10:25 on July 4th, 1929. Actually, I believe it's 2019. I'll check that. Can we verify that? 2019. Got it. What we're here to talk about tonight is... I don't know what we're here to talk. Oh, yes, we did. I do have a thought. I'm sitting here. It's July 4th. I'm thinking about a subject because I've been watching some video and listening to some music. It take me on to a subject that's been on my mind lately a lot. It's because I've been having these things happen to me pretty much nightly, especially if I'm in a deep sleep. And who doesn't like to be in a deep sleep, right? I mean, I've written a great song about sleep. It's called The Sleep. I'll play it here sometime. But the point is, I've been thinking a lot about dreams because I've been having these intense dreams. And I have always had dreams, but I don't know what it is in the last, I don't know, year or two. These dreams have been to the point where they wake you up because you're so distraught, you're so upset, you hit a wall, and it's so bad that you have to wake yourself up to get out of the situation. I've had a lot of these. This, again, generally happens in a very deep sleep, in usually in the later stages of my sleep. So, you know, in the last maybe couple of hours or so, I think, I don't know. I don't know how to record dreams or time dreams. Wouldn't that be a great idea? If you could time a dream. Hey, I had this dream. It was a long-ass dream. How long was it? Well, shit, I don't know. I didn't have my timer going. How long do dreams last? You know, that's a great question. Do dreams last, like, in real time as you're going through it? In other words, if the dream starts at... 4 o'clock in the morning, and it seems in the dream like it's been about an hour. Is it 5 o'clock in the morning, or did that whole dream just happen in 5 minutes, or did it actually take several hours for that hour dream to go through your head while you're sleeping? I would like to propose, or actually, I probably shouldn't propose it, because then somebody else is going to invent the goddamn dream clock, dream stopwatch. That is actually my idea, and I'm podcast registering this trademark right now here. It's a registered trademark because I'm putting it on a podcast, which I will publish, obviously time-stamped, to this day, July 4th, 2019, that this idea for a dream stopwatch or dream clock. Oh, it's kind of, yeah, Salvador Dali there, right? Yeah, we know all about that. That's another song of mine, but that's another, for another episode of the Whitey Spooge podcast. It is the Whitey Spooge podcast, by the way. Let's come back to that real quick. Thank you for tuning in. This is episode one. Now, I did do a pilot episode, which is kind of like me yapping, but I didn't know what I was going to do. So I'm just deciding, okay, I'm just going to go ahead and do this podcast. I don't know what the subject will be. And it's a stream of consciousness. It's whatever comes to mind. Maybe I'll have a theme. Like I said, tonight, dreams is kind of my theme for tonight, because I think that's relevant to me right now. But it could be anything. And it could veer off into anything. It's just whatever comes into the room while I'm swirling it around. And by the way, I will say here on the Whitey Spooge podcast, for the first time, and the great thing came to me tonight, I'm thinking, I've always wanted to do a podcast, but why? Here's what I came home with. First of all, a podcast is a license for you to talk to yourself. Because that's what I'm doing. And hey, that's what all you fucks are doing out there. They're doing podcasts, unless you're doing it with a panel or something, or sidekick, like, you know. But no, it's a license to just talk to yourself. And I think it's therapeutic. So the Whitey Spooge podcast, as far as I know, is the first podcast to come out and actually pretty much tell you what a podcast is. It's a podcast. A podcast is something for the podcaster to talk to themselves. It's a license to talk to themselves. And it's also kind of therapeutic because it's like they're talking to a therapist, but they're actually talking to themselves. But they're also putting it out there for anybody to listen to it and perhaps chime in or not. We don't know yet. This is episode one. We don't know if anybody's going to ever notice this thing, but we're going to give it a shot, and what the fuck. So anyway, so back to the dream thing. Dreams. And the reason why dreams were kind of conjured up in me here tonight for this podcast on the first Whitey Spooge podcast, July 4th, Independence Day. 2019. And by the way, you know, everybody knows I'm Whitey Spooge, but they don't know a lot about me. By the way, just saying, it is July 4th, and my parents, my mom and my dad got married and produced yours truly, Whitey Spooge. They got married on this very day, July 4th. Now, I don't know exactly the year, and I wouldn't give it away anyway because I would never divulge my age by telling you that, or my true identity. But anyway, yes, my parents married on this day, July 4th, a few years ago, you know, not that many, and a little bit. They had me. And if it wasn't for that, you wouldn't have Whitey Spooge, nor do I dare say that you wouldn't have the Whitey Spooge podcast, which you are now completely enamored with. You're a fan. Come on. I know it's episode one, but you're feeling it. You're feeling the Whitey Spooge, as you should be. Yeah, bring a towel. Anyway, so one of the reasons that I kind of got onto this dream thing was tonight for the first episode of the Whitey Spooge podcast is because, of course, I've been having a lot of these dreams, but I've also come across some media that makes me think of dreams, and one of those things is just checked out the brand new Thom Yorke album, which just came out, and also a great little short film called Anima that he did with Paul Thomas Anderson, and it's quite good. I'm a huge Radiohead fan, big Thom Yorke fan. Going to see Tom here in my town sometime soon. Won't divulge the town because that would give away my secret identity. And I love Thom Yorke, and great stuff coming out from him. But you got to check out the Netflix film, Thom Yorke, Paul Thomas Anderson. It's called Anima, and it's basically, you know, three songs from his new album, Anima, and the video is amazing. It really, and I knew this from when it first started to play. I'm like, this music is him putting his dreams out. These are dreams. And stream of consciousness stuff, especially with the one tune, can't think of it right now, and I don't want to restart this, but basically, great, amazing, and very much dreamlike, the whole video. It's like, and they really, I really connect with this, because these are the kind of dreams I'm having now that you see in this short. Enema by Thom Yorke. You know, trying to get somewhere, but you're being pushed back by forces, and you're mingling through all kind of shit. And you're trying to connect with somebody, and it's getting tangled up. You know, but it looks like it's gonna happen, and it kind of fades out. It's amazing. So I highly recommend that. On the dream subject, the other thing that made me think of dreams was the premiere tonight of Stranger Things. Now, I haven't actually watched the premiere yet, but I did go back and I watched the last episode of season 2, and a lot of dream-like stuff going on there. So, these are why I'm talking about dreams tonight. Like to know what your thoughts are on dreams, because I'd love to know other people's dreams. You know, I know my dream, but it'd be how cool. Listen to this now. How cool would it be if you could not only see your dreams? Let me just start there. What if you could record your dreams? My God, if you could record your dreams, you could record your most deep subconscious shit. Amazing that would be if you could record your dreams. Now, yeah, I think this could happen, man. I mean, the shit that's going on now, they'll be recording dreams. Holy fuck. This is another... Hold it. Just hold on now. I've come up with another ingenious idea that somebody's going to steal here from the Whitey Spooge podcast, episode 1. Somebody's going to steal that idea from me too. Recording your dreams. Well, you can't do it now because I just timestamped the bitch, and it's it's a Whitey Spooge production, bitch. Along those lines, though, right? You can record your dreams. If that's not amazing enough, you can watch other people's dreams. How trippy would that be? If you could actually not only watch your own dreams, but you could watch other people's dreams. Whitey, you've really outdone yourself here tonight on episode 1. Talking about dreams. How about this? We're going to talk about dreams. How about a great song by the name of Dreams, done by Fleetwood Mac. Yeah. Stevie Nicks, Lindsey Buckingham. That's some shit right there with Mick Fleetwood and all those boys and girls there. That was some good shit, but great song, Dreams by Fleetwood Mac, from the one of my favorite albums, one of my favorite bands, Fleetwood Mac, the album Rumors. If we're going to go to Fleetwood Mac, I just want to say, this is another show maybe. My favorite Fleetwood Mac album, other than Rumors, which is amazing, my favorite is Tusk, and Tusk, a double album. This is going to be my next, I think this is going to be my next podcast. I want to talk double albums. I'm going to talk double albums. Okay. So this is what we're going to try to do on these. This is episode 1. We're going to discuss the subject. I'm trying to put together here a kind of platform, a program of, you know, a little script for how we do this podcast. So we'll start it off like this, and I want it to be stream of consciousness, like I say, I think in some of my little promotional material there. I want it to be stream of consciousness. I want to put ideas out on here that would come to me when I'm sort of in a state where I'm mining my subconscious, because that's where my ideas come from. I'm a songwriter. I've written several hundred songs. We won't go into that right now. But bottom line is, I'm an artist. I'm a wordsmith kind of guy. I'm not saying I'm a genius, but I'm saying I'm pretty good at putting creative shit together with words. And that's why I started this goddamn podcast. That's why Woody Spooge is right now beaming into your little radio there. Oh, not your radio, your phone. What am I talking about? This is 1972. Anyway, this is, like I said, Woody Spooge show, the episode one, podcast number one. So that's the kind of format we're going to kind of go for here. So episode one, dreams. That's what we're going to call this one. Episode two, double albums. Okay? Double albums. And when I say double albums, I mean, musical albums. Like, nothing really is measured in albums anymore because they don't come in albums. But back in the day, albums were called albums because it was like a fucking album. It was a sleeve that you opened up and the vinyl was in the side. But a double album. Oh, you had it opened up like a book. There's a front cover, a back cover, and then an inside cover. All that room to do shit, man, and put, whatever imagery you wanted on to kind of like convey what that album was. And that's where we're going to go with episode two of the Whitey Spooge podcast. And we're going to sign off for tonight because I'm going to try to keep these short to start. I don't want to bore anybody. I just want to kind of feed you. Get you hooked. Come back to the Whitey Spooge. You know what I'm saying? And I will look forward to our next get-together here on the Whitey Spooge podcast. Episode one concluding. And I thank you to our sponsors. And I will record a sponsor message, too, to go along with that. And I really appreciate you guys chiming or not chiming in. You can chime in though. Please do chime. I'm chiming. Chime into the Whitey Spooge show podcast, because we'd like to hear what you think. And the more you give me feedback, the more shit I can come up with, and kind of lay it down for you bitches. All right, I'm out. Whitey Spooge. Bye. Jeff Lynne's ELO, one of my favorite bands. ELO, back in the day. And to this day. But you know what? I hadn't thought about them. Hadn't thought about them for a long time, But man, it's a band I really listened to and really learned from. And the guy was a fucking master. Jeff Lynne in the recording studio, just like ridiculous. Holy shit, aside from their hits. And by the way, I'll get right back to that. This is the Whitey Spooge podcast here. And episode official number 2. But I'm going to just jump right back into the ELO stuff. Jeff Lynne, genius motherfucker. And, if you want to do yourself a favor, and I don't dwell in the past when it comes to music, but there's just certain shit that happened that I have to still love to this day in ELO. Particularly, my favorite album of theirs was the double album, and that's our theme here today. The double album, the best double albums of all time. And we'll get into that. But I think what kind of made me start thinking about this was the fact that I'm going to see ELO here. They're traveling. They're touring right now here in the summer of 2019. And they're coming. I never thought in a million years I would ever get to see ELO. I was into ELO when I was in college. Ish. That area. And just the production and shit was crazy. But man, he just went on to work. Jeff. Not just ELO, but went on to work. Traveling Wilburys with Dylan and Petty and Roy Orbison, I think Neil Young was in there too, wasn't he? I think. Anyway, amazing. Worked a lot with George Harrison from the Beatles, of course. They were kind of buddies and kind of worked together a lot over the years. And, of course, Jeff definitely produced at least one or two, I think, of George Harrison's solo albums. But anyway, so if you don't know Jeff Lynne, you should know the amazing crap. Hold on, my dog, I think needs to go out here. I need to let the dog out, I think. And she's clawing against the glass here. All right, and there she goes. Sorry, kids, I hate to digress there. So anyway, we're getting to double album. So what brought me on to ELO was if you haven't heard their double album Out of the Blue, it's just a fucking, it's a masterpiece. It is. Wow, it's just incredible. This is what gets me into the discussion of double albums. If a band is kind of it's peak time, they're really hitting it, man. They're knocking it out every time, and they put out a double album, it's usually a good idea. If they're really in their best, the career is at their hilt. And I'm going to talk about some of these albums today, because that's kind of today's discussion. And so I've already mentioned, I'm getting into my list here, pardon me. ELO's Out of the Blue, amazing. There's a few hits on there, but the whole album is amazing. From start to finish, it's like an Abbey Road if it was a double album. It's pretty amazing. So I highly recommend that one. And we'll get into some of the other ones here. Fleetwood Mac, Tusk. Okay. Fleetwood Mac, this was the album that came out after their huge mega album of all time, which was Rumors. I think it was 77. I think Rumors came out. I believe. Their first album with Buckingham and Nicks before that was just the Fleetwood Mac kind of like white album, and introduced Buckingham Nicks, great album, but Rumors, of course, is what's launched them into the stratosphere of all time of albums. And after that, kind of a ballsy move. Fleetwood Mac comes out with a double album that's pretty fucking obscure. After releasing one of the best-selling albums of all time, they come out with an album that's a double album. That's a little chancy to begin with. And it's kind of weird. There's some weird stuff going on there. But man, I liken it to an album I'm going to obviously talk about here at some point, the Beatles' White Album. That could be the top one of all time for me. The Fleetwood Mac Tusk, it was taking some chances, some weird shit going on. The marching band playing in the title tune there. It was just a really, the songs were all good. Like, there wasn't a bad song on that album. And it was like they were really pared down to real basic, you know, straightforward, not a lot of layers of shit going on like you had like with the Rumors album, you know, and the big wall of sound type stuff. It was pared down, it was stripped down. There were some funky rhythms going on, some amazing. I mean, John McVie and Mick Fleetwood are my favorite rhythm section of all time. Those two guys. There's a few others that would be in the ballpark, but man, them in their prime, Mick Fleetwood playing drums with John McVie, and and they were born in the blues, so it was just a groove, man, groove, and just the inflection with Fleetwood, with his, some of the drum shit he did on Tusk, it's just mesmerizing. It really is. I can't recommend Tusk anymore. Now we're going to go on to a very important album. My top three artists of all time, my favorite top three. It's really, as hard as that question that may be, those top three I can nail them. And I'm not going to put them in any order, but the Beatles, Tom Waits, and Prince. And it started with Prince when somebody, I think as a birthday present, gave me the album, 1999. Okay. I wasn't really familiar with Prince. I kind of maybe knew who he was, but I wasn't into his, I just didn't find him yet. And they gave me this album, double album, by the way, of course, blew my fucking mind. That was the first album he did with The Revolution, which of course, following that album was Purple Rain, which kind of put him from, you know, here to there. I mean, into the fucking stratosphere, of course. But 1999, yeah, it had a couple hit songs, had a few hit songs. It had Delirious. It had, of course, 1999, Little Red Corvette. They were huge singles, but it was a double album, and some of the other stuff that you've never ever heard on the radio from that album is just mind-boggling. Lady Cab Driver, Dance Music Sex Romance, DMSR, just a fucking groove. My man from Digital Underground, Shock G, did a remix of a Prince song, which I fucking love. It's a love song, right? Is that it? It's not coming to me. I think it's that. Anyway, no, Love Sign. I'm sorry, Love Sign. Sorry, I'm scattergoring around here. Love Sign, with the Shock G remix of Love Sign, it features a keyboard sample from DMSR from fucking 1999. And it's so fucking cool the way he uses it. Look up if you can find it. It wasn't released There's a version of, that was released, but you have to hear the Shock G remix of Love Sign. It's the one of my favorite. Oh my God, it's a groove like you wouldn't believe. Have to check that out. So, with that, that's 1999. God, any of these albums I mentioned, if you haven't sat down with them with a pair of headphones and really like soaked the shit in, you owe it to yourself. Okay, here's another one. And this was actually a triple album. A triple album, which is, at the time, was like, you fucking insane? But it was The Clash. Their album Sandinista. Three discs. Three vinyl albums. Big sleeved thing. Cool artwork on it and shit. And man, it was just these guys, these geniuses, you know, Joe Strummer and Mick Jones, right? Mick Jones. There's so many Mick Jones, I get them confused. Yeah, Mick Jones, who went on to do Big Audio Dynamite, and of course, Joe Strummer had an amazing career with the Mescaleros and all that shit. But anyway, yeah, The Clash, man, they were the real deal, man. They were. It was not just raw, but it was smart, and it sounded good, and it was kind of had a swing to it, like a reggae swing, but you know, rock. I mean, yeah, Clash, some great albums, and they just go all over the board on that record. Just some obscure, almost experimental stuff that they threw on a record. Hey, let's not make it a double record. Let's make it a triple up record. Then put all these great fucking songs on. Thank God they did. You know, I wish more people had done that. Give me more triple albums, you know, from bands that are in their fucking prime and just churning the gold out, you know. So anyway, yeah, the Clash Sandinista, you have to check that one out. Now, here's another one for you. Okay, I'll just stick with the Prince thing. I'm back to Prince here. Because, yeah, he's in my top three. I don't think I'd ever would have started trying to record songs by myself, which I wound up doing. Just me. I played all the parts and recorded everything, and I just did everything. And Prince was the guy. I was like, hey, yeah, you can do that. I'm like, fuck, really? Holy shit. And I, from then on, I did it. And my God, what an influence. And as I said before, 1999 was the beginning of that for me. But going on to, you know, of course, Purple Rain, eventually on to Sign of the Times, which was, again, a double album. And I it's hard for me to pick my favorite Prince album, but good Lord, I'm pretty sure it's between, because they're double albums, and there's just so much there, and it's amazing. 1999 and Sign of the Times, man. Sign of the Times was just, that was where Prince was like coming out of the whole huge, you know, Purple Rain thing. He put out Around the World in 80 Days, which was a very cool album too, and had, you know, great hits on it like Raspberry Beret and Kiss. But as an album, man, fucking Sign of the Times just blew my mind. And Sign of the Times was an album that was boiled down from another album he was trying to do at the time called Crystal Ball. I think there was a three album or song, three disc album, whatever. I actually wanted to. I have a digital version of that, like a CD of it. And you can't find it anywhere. It's pretty rare. But anyway, so yeah, Crystal Ball became Sign of the Times. So it was a pared down version of Crystal Ball. If there's any Prince thing that I want to be released, and we've released a few things since he's passed, you know, etc. But man, I would love if they just issued the Crystal Ball album, because that was probably my favorite period for him, is when he was doing like Sign of the Time and shit. He was just in another stratosphere, man. That album is, I mean, Housequake, If I Was Your Girlfriend, Adore. I mean, he was in the fucking groove, bro. The Ballad of Dorothy Parker, you know, It, A Strange Relationship. I mean, that album just, it's one fucking amazing thing after next. And again, it is a double album. Okay. And as a last thing about Prince, I love Prince. Like, some of his later years, it got a little corny and stuff. But man, a three-disc album that you must hear if you're a Prince fan is Emancipation. This was, I believe, right after he got released from Warner Brothers and he could just finally fucking do whatever he wants, man. He had a treasure trove of shit in there. And that album, Emancipation, is really good. It's the best. It's the last good album Prince did. Like, amazing album was Emancipation. So I highly recommend that. And that's a triple album, kids. It's triple album time. Okay. Got to get down the list here. We are going to go next to a band by the name of the Smashing Pumpkins. Melancholy in the Infinite Sadness. In the Infinite Sadness. I'm going to say, late 90s, I think, right? Early 80s? I don't know. Off the top of my head. What am I talking about? I should know when that came out. It doesn't matter. It's a double album. It's amazing. The hits from that were like 1979 and I'm Still Just a Rat in the Cage. Yeah, you know that song. But great, great fucking album, man. And it was them in their prime. This is after they had their first big album. I can't think of the name of it right now, but that's okay. This is a great fucking album. And then they came out with this thing, great double album, man. I mean, it goes all over the place. It's beautifully written and produced. It's just a gorgeous piece of work. The Smashing Pumpkins, Melancholy and the Infinite Sadness. I can't even begin to do any more of this without absolutely mentioning this next album, which, I mean, I really do think it might be my favorite album of all time. But there are other contenders here. But Stevie Wonder's Songs in the Key of Life. I mean, I heard that album when I was, I bought that album. I had that album when I was, I think, like, shit. Yeah. Real young. Very, very early teens. Maybe even preteen. Somewhere in there when I heard that for the first time. And I was like, what the, holy mo, I mean. I think he did most, if not all. He did a lot of the album himself. Played everything himself. Again, double album. I mean, I can sit here and name songs. You know, there were hits from it. Like, I Wish, Sir Duke, Isn't She Lovely. Many, many hits. But the songs that weren't hits, again, like some of these other albums I've been talking about, you know. Love's in Need of Love Today, the first song that starts the album. I mean, it's probably the most beautiful song I've ever heard. Love's in Need of Love Today by Stevie Wonder opens up that album. And oh my God, if you haven't heard it, you need to listen to it right now. Get on there and listen to that fucking album. Songs in the Key of Life by Stevie Wonder. Also did an amazing kind of off the wall double album called The Secret Life of Plants. Much more experimental, but awesome too. But Songs in the Key of Life is a must. I'm a huge Tom Waits fan, like I said. Tom, in his early career, and he was kind of more like critter, smoking and drinking, and he's in the club. He put out an album in the early 70s, mid 70s, called Nighthawks at the Diner, which is basically just Tom Waits, you know, it just sounds like he's in a diner booth, but he happens to have a band behind him and a pretty goddamn good jazzy band, jazzy bluesy band. And that was his sound at the time, but this was just him, man. Some amazing songs, amazing lyrics. These are little movies. These songs are little movies. Like, you know, Big Joe and Phantom 309. Just listen to that. Just start with Big Joe and Phantom 309. And you probably will be a Tom Waits fan for life. Early career. Love all of his career. Especially his middle era stuff. But man, yeah. Nighthawks at the Diner. It's like talking to Tom Waits in a diner booth with a cigarette in his hand and some coffee and, you know, 4 a.m. Wow. Okay. Double album night, kids. This is the Whitey Spooge Show. This is double album night. I kind of teased this in episode one. So I'm going to tease you at the end of this episode with another little tidbit. Double albums. How about Physical Graffiti by Led Zeppelin? Was that a fucking sweet album? These are albums where these great, great, great artists got real deep into their shit. They got deep into their shit, right? I think Physical Graffiti, I believe they recorded it in like a fucking, I don't know, a cabin out in the woods or something. I don't know where the fuck. They were out in the middle of nowhere. This is like, okay, they're the big shit right now. You know, they can pretty much do whatever they want. Now, like, if we want to record in this crazy fucking place, you know. You name it, dude. You're fucking Led Zeppelin and you're at the peak of your career. We'll do whatever you want. So I think they recorded Physical Graffiti in some crazy remote place or whatever. I'll have to look that one up at some point. I'll update you on that. I'm not going to do any Googling right now because I don't want to waste your time. But, anywho, well, wow, what a fucking dense, weird album, but yet, man, what a, it's just, well, I think it was, I do believe that was this, am I wrong? Was that the second to last album? The last album, In Through the Outdoor, was a cool album, but it wasn't, you know, it wasn't quite what came before, but I'm trying to think. I think Presence came before that, which is kind of a weird album, which was, it was kind of cool, though. Achilles' Last Stand, great song from that album. And then prior to that, I believe it was Physical Graffiti, which was the double album, and wow, just, man, Kashmir, and, I mean, you can just go on and on with the, there's so many textures in that fucking album, it's crazy. So that's it, that's on my list. I'm not the guy that jumps on the soapbox about Bruce Springsteen. I mean, I appreciate the dude. I've seen him. He's amazing live. He's a fucking great songwriter. He's unbelievable. But I'm not like Mr. Bruce Springsteen by any measure. But I will say that his album, The River, was just an amazing album. You know, again, some of the songs were not hits. stuff like the river, the song itself, the river's an amazing song. And that album was, I believe, before he came out with that album. The album that came out before that was his excellent little like demo album called Nebraska, which was like recorded on like a little Tascam, cassette recorder or whatever, in his cabin or something, you know. And that's a great fucking album if you've never heard that. But it's double album night, so we're gonna talk about The River, man. What a great album that is. Highly recommend that one. I haven't listened to that myself in forever. I already talked about ELO Out of the Blue. I'm gonna throw in also Outkast, their album, you know, Speaker Box, The Love Below. Great fucking album, man. It was like them peaking, you know. I love those guys. I'm a huge, most of the stuff I listen to is hip hop anymore, and it's been that way for 20 plus years at least. Even though I sound like an old rock guy by listing all these old albums, hey, I've been around for a while, but I'm very, you know. I'm not saying that Outkast is like happening, and that was 10 years ago. I'm just saying a great album. Speaker Box, Love Below, of course, you know the hits from that one. But again, there's like some dense, experimental, kind of real trippy stuff in there on that album. I think most of it's Andre 3000, as far as that stuff goes. I could be wrong. Big Boy, whatever. They were good. I don't know why they don't work together anymore. I don't think they do anyway. But I'm going to wind it up here with what I'm going to say is my favorite double album of all time. I kind of said songs in the key of life. It's so hard to pick the favorite. I mean, I can't not talk about it, at least being in that conversation, of course. The Beatles, one of my favorite, the biggest influences, Prince, the Beatles, Tom Waits. And the Beatles, White Album, was just, man, you talk about just, here are these guys at the top of their game, just coming off like Sergeant Pepper's. I think it went Sergeant Pepper's and then Yellow Submarine and then the White Album, I believe. I think that's how it goes. You know, but what a change between like, you know, those three albums. It's like they kept evolving and changing, but yeah, by the time they got to the White Album, there was like a bunch, they're just like a bunch of hippies. And they're just a bunch of, and if you've seen the album artwork for the White Album, it's crazy. I mean, I love the fact that the cover is just white with a tiny little gray The Beatles like imprinted in into the actual cardboard. That's what kids will never know today what a fucking record feels like. Some of them will. Vinyl's very, very back in style now, but whatever, you get my drift. Back in the day, man, these things were like Bibles. It's like, wow, I can't wait to read the inside of this fucking album cover. You know, what they would say, who was on it, yada, yada. But yeah, so inside the Beatles White Album, it's just pictures of them kind of like in the studio, and it wasn't like glamour shots for sure. It was like them kind of like twisting and turning and like in weird, kind of looking like, I don't want to know if I want to be here. It was some weird off, you have to see them, and I haven't looked at it for a while myself. I need to do that soon. But man, actually, that would be a really cool thing to kind of put on the wall. The inside album a cover for fucking the White Album. I'm doing that. I'm going to be doing that. I've just decided. I'll make a note of that right now. But anyway, I think that truly wraps up this episode. Where did I fall? Was it the White Album was my favorite? Was it Songs in the Key of Life? Was it 1999 or Sign of the Times? I don't know, man, but those are all Tusk. Oh, don't forget about Tusk. Those are my favorite double albums of all time, and this has been the Whitey Spooge podcast. We are, and I apologize for kind of being gone for a while. A lot going on with me right now. You know, good stuff. And I'll be updating you all on this when things fall into place. But I have been quite busy. I was also on vacation with my kids. And so I've been having a good time, but can't so much get jump on here with your kids in the hotel room next to you, like, you know, playing Xbox or whatever. So what I'm going to do now is sign off. I appreciate you tuning in to the Whitey Spooge podcast. Really appreciate it. There's a lot more coming. We're just getting this rolling. I got to figure out some stuff. But I tell you what, I got to tell you people, I got a long list here of stuff coming up. So I'm just gonna talk about that real quick. Episode one was dreams, and I talked about the dreams, crazy dreams I've been having. Double episode two, we talked about the double albums today. Now, here's some ideas for upcoming podcasts. So if you enjoyed listening to this or any of the couple I've done so far, and I really appreciate you listening, this is what's coming up. So if you like that, wait till we get to these. And here's one of, just top that list right the fuck off. I am going to discuss girls I have fucked. Okay? Dug out of your interest now. I wasn't clear. The next episode is going to be girls that I have fucked. Okay? So I got your attention. I'll run down some other ideas. Or maybe I won't. Maybe I won't. Yeah, I'm not going to. I'm just gonna leave you hanging there with girls I've fucked. And I've fucked a few. I don't know what the number, if it's a good number for me, if I did pretty good, or I was way low or way high, or I was probably way low and way high through most of those fucks. And I did go low and I did go high. But that's for another episode. Yes, so girls I fucked, and this is why this Whitey Spooge podcast is being done anonymously. You don't know who I am. You don't. I may throw something out there. If you actually came across this, you might be like, hey, I think that's him. But you don't know. I'm Whitey Spooge, bitch. We out.